Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Played loads of songs from 2004 today because tonight it's part 5 of the story of the noughties on Actual Radio 1. And that was a big tune from that year. Listen tonight at 9 o'clock. Tell you what. That tune, we were responsible for that pretty much.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
I also think that that was the tune that launched the lasso.
The lasso dance. You don't really do that anymore, do you?
Well, you know.
Is
it my joints? Yeah, partly, actually. And there isn't as much camp stuff around, I find, to lasso too.
Hello, have you heard Floor Fillers?
Well, yeah. But I can't do an hour's solid lassoing nowadays, you know?
No, I know.
But back
that
then...
That was back then when you could.
Back then, Becky doubts that I lassoed to that.
He did. He really did.
Yeah.
I just think it was... I've seen your lasso. I just think that track was slightly slow.
Yeah, but when you lasso like I lasso, you can either do fast or slow.
All our fault, that song. People yeah. thought Moose T was over after Horny.
But oh no.
We proved them wrong.
And then Sue to Horny as well.
And then he had that one with Tom Jones.
And the one with the Dandy Warhols. Do you not remember that? Horny as a Dandy?
Oh yeah, we played that.
Yeah.
It was a big hit.
See? He'd been nothing without us.
Nothing
and look at him
all.
Now.
Didn't they come in and were quite grateful to us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Angela or something, the lead singer? I don't know. I'm making that up. We've got a special guest today. Actual Gerard Butler off Hollywood's going to be here after 4:30.
Podcast.
Welcome back, Becky. How rude of me. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was your week of courses?
Brilliant. I'm now really intelligent.
Right. And what else did you learn?
I learned how to do my job for 2 days, and then I learned how to do first aid for 3 days. So I can now save your life.
You can save my life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, though?
I can try.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for your help.
And can you now edit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's good. So you learned some new stuff. Was,
He so knows where to get me, does Mark. Thank you, Mark.
You do a cake baking course as well?
No.
You're about to attack me with some whipped cream.
Why is there
what are you doing?
There's a really large cake in here which we're not allowed to touch, we've been told.
Well, seeing as Gerard Butler's coming in today, and I heard it was his birthday recently, I thought I'd make him a cake. So okay. I've bought in some extra thick squirty cream, which I need to do really quickly before he comes in, because apparently it melts if you go...
Don't.
Why?
I've got you put it on a plate.
Oh.
It's good stuff. Did you shake it before you did it?
No. Oh, I've had squirty cream for a long time.
Don't just put it straight in your mouth, because that's wrong.
He'll really like that.
So what are you just going to cover... What are you going to do with it?
Well, he asked for this special cake called a 3 milk cake.
Right.
And apparently it's just covered in cream, and it's got loads of stuff in it. So it's really fattening.
Sounds right up our street.
Mm.
Can we just say thank you as well to... Well, we'll say it when he comes in. But we were invited, lastminute.com, to... Gerard's party on Friday night.
You say that like he had realised that no one was going to be there, so he quickly called you.
No,
to
really.
Make up the numbers. It wasn't quite like that.
No, a nice lady called Angie sent me an email and was like, would you all like to come along? So we did go, didn't we?
Lovely canapes.
Mm. But we're obviously not used to going to these kind of things, because when an invitation says starts at 8:30, we're there at 8:30.
Yeah.
And apparently that's not cool.
We were first there, weren't we?
Yeah.
But I've realised it is the best way to get into celebrity parties, because they hadn't even got the guest list printed by the time we turned up, had they?
No, so we turned up and they're like, hi, are you Jerry's friend? We're like, yep, straight in. No, and that was before they even got the guest list sorted out, so that's, we blagged our way in, basically. But it was great. And we got all the food. And we got a seat. Mini hamburgers, yes. So that's nice of you to make him a cake.
Well, it's only fair, isn't it, that we say thank you back, I suppose. When I say we,
I'm a bit worried about it, though.
Why?
Because you know when you make cakes and you make little ones, you can always just try one to make sure they're all right. With a big one, you can't do that.
Just have to cut
a bit out the middle.
Yeah, he'd love that. Just to try it and make sure it's all right.
You should try it before you give it him.
What, you give it to him without a slice?
Well, I think he'd rather...
No, just cover the hole with cream.
I think he'd rather the slice was missing than he was poisoned.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Right, I read an interview recently with Jimmy Carr.
Right.
And he was in some magazine, and he was saying that because he's lost about 2 stone in weight, he's gone down about 2 shoe sizes, which I didn't think you could. But
really?
He has, yeah. So I need to get some new trainers on Saturday. I go to the shops. I'm always a size 10. Yeah. Always have been. Okay. I try about three different pairs of trainers on, size 10. And I'm like, these don't fit me anymore. Right? So then I go a size up. They fit perfectly. All three different pairs of trainers.
So you're now a size 11.
So it wasn't just a freak, you know, pair of trainers that were a bit too small in the size 10. I am now a size 11. I've in the last 3 months, I must have gone up a size. I didn't think that was possible.
So
I've
you
got fat feet.
Are you worried that you're piling it on? Is that what you...
Well, I mean, I haven't been running for a couple of weeks.
You don't look as though there's any extra timber on you.
But they are actually... My feet have got fatter. And I just didn't know if
and
this
longer.
Can happen. And, well, no, it's not necessarily the length of
them. Oh, you need the
them.
Extra width, do you?
Yeah, it's the width, because they were really pinching me here.
Right. I don't need to see any more, to be honest.
No?
No. I get the idea.
Right. So I'm now officially a size 11. What's
with
that?
With fat feet.
With fat feet. Radio
1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1. I hope Gerard comes quite soon, because there's a lot of cream in this cake.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but it's not going to go off inside 20 minutes, is it? Surely.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, I don't know a great deal about cake making and cream, but I would imagine it can stay in a sort of room temperature for 20 minutes.
Becky's now getting really scared as well, because she's like, oh no, what if it's eggy? And
I know.
Having real
he's behind you.
Cake drama.
No, not that we're in Panto or anything, but there you go.
Oh, he is behind me. Hi. How are you?
Doing all right.
We're live on the air. Please do not swear. Have a seat. Sorry about that. How
yeah,
are you?
Alive. Oh, yeah,
yeah, we're on.
He's not one here.
I went to swear immediately.
No.
I went to be alive. Oh, and I just stopped myself.
Have a seat, okay. Jared. Welcome to Radio 1.
Good to be here.
Did you just get kidnapped by somebody upstairs?
I did.
Yeah, they sometimes do that. It's annoying.
I did. I think we're getting our money's worth today. I think doing a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay. Thank you for inviting us, by the way, to your party on Friday. That was great.
Thank you for coming. I was very surprised to see you all there, including the one that doesn't speak.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we don't normally go to these kind of showbiz parties. And so when an invitation says starts at 8:30, we are there bang on 8:30.
You were there before me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there before everybody, including the doorman and some of the staff. But, you know.
Someone went, are you Jerry's friends? And we went, yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even a guest list set up at that point. It was brilliant.
They kind of ushered us towards the corner and told us to sit there, and then we were out of the way of everybody.
We just blagged our way in. It was amazing. We got a table, though, and had all the food. Yeah. So thanks very much for that.
I didn't even have any food, by the way. I didn't have anything.
Really?
God,
canapés are lovely.
Yeah. I spent a fortune on that food, and I didn't have any of it.
It was well worth it. The mini burgers were gorgeous.
No, I'm quite pleased.
Did you seriously have fun?
Oh, it's amazing.
We had lots of food.
Very good. Thank you for inviting us.
Okay. Cool you come.
This is, there have been two interviews this week with Hollywood film stars, and I actually made this one.
Yeah, you did. You didn't oversleep or anything.
There was an issue last week.
Oh, what happened?
With Robert Pattinson off of Twilight and New Moon, where... Right, okay, this is going to sound bad, so I want you to tell me if you would be offended by this if it was you, okay? So, I had done a student gig in Nottingham, got in about 6, 7am in the morning, because it was a big drive back. Then I was supposed to do an interview with Arpat at about... half 9, 10 o'clock. Slept through the whole thing. Now, if that was you, would you be offended?
Well, if you were sleeping in front of me...
I didn't fall asleep during the interview. I just didn't turn up at all.
Right. Okay, well, that's better. That I could understand, because I've done that myself many times.
Yeah, see?
But if you were to sleep through the interview while I was talking, I'd be pretty...
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, yeah.
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 But I have, you know, talking about offended, though, I was being filled in that originally you wanted me to play you in the movie, Scott Mills.
You know too much, because you listen to our podcast. You see?
So now you want Robert Pattinson.
No, we don't. No, Pattinson is off.
He is?
I want you.
Oh, it's Jennifer Aniston. No, you wanted me to get to Jennifer Aniston. That's what it was.
Oh, God, he does listen, doesn't he?
Yeah. I'm quite enjoying you squirt.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
looking forward to how you're going to get out of this.
This is like probably one of the only interviews with people where I can't get away with selling them.
But they know
because
who
they
we
already
are.
Know. That's really weird. Now, what were you saying to Becky at the party on Friday about your favourite type of cake? What was that?
What was I saying about my favourite type of cake?
I think it was some three milk cake.
Oh yeah. I can't really speak any languages, but it's the tres leche, the three milk cake.
I'd never heard of this.
Neither had I, until I went on the internet.
All right, so you find out about it?
Yeah, we made one.
No.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
But I need to squirt it up with cream, so I'll do that during the next song.
Okay.
Oh, it sounds
it's
revolting.
It's so
what is the word you're looking for?
You said it was fattening, and I didn't realise until I was making it quite how creamy it was.
Did you really make that cake?
I have, yes. So we'll sample it first to make sure it's okay for you. And then
she sent me a text yesterday afternoon going, yep, just finished butler's cake. I'm like, seriously, you've actually made it.
That's great.
Well, it's not bad, because we turned up at your birthday, and I said
Didn't buy you a present.
Earlier saying, should we get him a present? And he was like, no, no need to worry about that. And we get there and loads of people have bought you presents and I felt really bad, so we made you a cake.
So we've made you some revolting milk
you don't
concoction.
Know. I know you prefer a box set, but you've got a manky cake.
I did get some box sets, I think, that night.
I think I did. I got to be honest, not that I didn't actually want anybody to bring me a present, because it's a birthday party. Much as you appreciate it, you're like, I've got nowhere to put this. And they give it to you when you're at the other side of the room. I didn't know what to do with anything. So you were, despite the fact you were the only people not to bring me a birthday present, you were the most appreciated for that.
Phew.
No, thanks for that, yeah. So you had your premiere in Glasgow, didn't you, for your new film?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do that, not London?
Because I hate London. I'm joking, I'm joking. No, because you know what? We always have our premieres here in London, as you know, because...
That's how we met.
That's how we met, yeah.
Aww, it's so nice.
It really was, I tell you. I mean, I remember you interviewing me and me want to talk more about you and your show than my movie. But
yeah, it's like, talk about the ugly truth a bit more. That's what we're here. We've both been paid to do this.
And I'm like, no, but you're Scott Mills and you're my hero.
Are you saying he turned down an opportunity to talk about himself?
He actually did. I was impressed. He's like, can we talk about the movie? And it's a lot, and there's all these fans and there's a big crowd and he's trying to talk about Ugly Truth, and I'm there to promote Ugly Truth, and it's the premiere of Ugly Truth, but I'm like, I was honestly starstruck.
Ever. Oh god, I can't cover this. Anyway, I noticed that you are being quite careful to keep your kind of Scottish accent, aren't you? When you were at the thing the other night, because you don't want to slightly get that American drawl.
Yeah, you know? What happens is, because I've had my accent is definitely softened by being over there, but not by being over there, it's from playing the roles. I mean, it never changed from me being from Glasgow to Edinburgh to London, but it's since I've started playing a lot of American roles and I speak in an American accent the whole time, and then I notice that suddenly I'm kind of going work or going instead of going. But once I'm back in Scotland for more than a couple of days, then it starts to come back.
Okay. But is it not hard when you actually live there all the time to you know, it must be.
What?
Because Becky lived in Australia for a bit, and...
Let's hear it.
It all went wrong.
Yeah, no, I did turn Australian for a while.
Oh, that's funny.
But I've kind of lost it now, but when I came back, I was talking totally Australian.
Yeah, but it's gone now.
And John Barrowman's weird, isn't he? When he does his,
generally,
like...
Yeah. No.
No, when he does his American and then he talks Scottish to his parents. Yeah. Like, when he talks to his parents, he just comes out in Scottish.
Because his mum and dad came in here when we were doing an interview with him and he was like, yeah, gee, sure. And then he just turned around and be really Scottish. I love it. But
I'm not that bad, no. I don't think. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute, folks. What's going on over there? So anyway, yeah.
Now, every couple of months, you're normally linked to another A-lister. They love it, don't they? They love it, all the talk about your love life.
The A-listers or the public?
No, well, I don't know. I haven't talked to any of the A-listers to ask. But
there's nothing between Jamie Foxx and me. I just
is there not?
That. No, no.
Just those made a film with him. Right. All I need is a simple yes or no answer to these, all right? Simple yes or no.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Jessica Simpson.
No.
Arlene Phillips.
I don't know. Who's that?
The old judge on Strictly Come Dancing. Like,
oh,
a bit of a quick
curveball. I wish, but yeah, no.
Jennifer Aniston.
No. Oh. There's none of... I got to say no. Just
You've
a big...
got the best technique at interrogation, Scott. I quite like it.
Well, I just wanted a yes or a no.
Really
all knows.
Subtle.
Yeah. But like any of our listeners would think, well, what, you know, go on, Jared, if you got a chance, go for it. You're a single man.
By the way, I'm saying no.
Not
it's
with
not...
Arlene Phillips, necessarily.
Hey, I'm saying no. It's not like I didn't go for it.
denied.
I got, you know, huge denials from all of them. Everybody thinks, well, he's saying no, as in he wouldn't have anything to do with them. But no, they wouldn't have anything to do with me.
Oh, okay. Now we're going to talk about some merchandise. Have you got a calendar? Because when you're really famous, you get a calendar.
Yeah,
don't you?
I do, actually.
Do you?
I do. I spotted one in Japan a few years ago, but apparently, my family were telling me they just found one in Scotland somewhere. I haven't seen it, but.
All right. So don't you have to approve it and approve the pictures and stuff?
Well, apparently not, because well, the one in Japan was funny because it was obviously taken from the internet, so the photos were blown up and they were completely out of focus. They were just so obviously printed out from the internet. But this new one, no, I had nothing to do with it.
I saw a brilliant Simon Cowell one in Pound Stretcher the other day. It's just him walking out of various award ceremonies with a packet of fags in his hand. It's like, he can't have said yes to that.
No, surely I don't think you need any approval. Surely not, because I haven't heard about that at all.
Have you got a perfume yet?
No.
You need a perfume.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You need that in your life.
Rupert, get on to that.
Right.
I need a perfume.
Yeah.
Who's Rupert?
Rupert Fowler, with the most ridiculous last name I ever heard, is my publicist.
All right, okay.
And that's him through there, and he's not got me any... You've not got me any worthwhile branding. I need to make some money here.
Is he listening? He's not flinching at all.
Clive Owen is his aftershave. Yeah. I think even Ewan McGregor does. What do I have?
Yeah. We noticed
he's deliberately ignoring you, yeah. I think.
Also, we noticed that they have... It's in its fifth year. There's a Gerard Butler convention in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Would you go to that?
Yeah, I got to tell you something. No, not at all. However, one time I was going with my buddy, got a film into the film festival in Las Vegas, and it turned out, and I think it was deliberately done, that it was the same weekend as the Gerard Butler convention. Mm. And I had the worst weekend of my life because I'm like, I can't, if they know I've been here and I haven't turned up, yeah, they're going to be furious, but there's no way I can turn up. And I sat in the hotel room for 2 days. My stomach was churning and I ended up going, and I ran in and went, hey, thank you. And then I got out. It's just weird to kind of turn up and go, yes, I'm Gerard Butler and you're here for my convention. But
They even printed the agenda online. It's brilliant. It's like 11 o'clock, have coffee and talk about Gerard. 12 o'clock, pay some party games inspired by Mr. Butler, our favourite. 1 o'clock, break for lunch and talk more about Gerard. It's brilliant.
It's great.
I love that. If I had a convention, I would want to go.
Yeah, you know, and they've had a bunch in Glasgow as well. And they come from all over the place. They come actually from Australia and Japan and South Korea, and it's kind of nuts. And I don't have to pay them that much to do it.
Do you ever have to, let's say fans maybe get hold of your phone number, do you have to change your number a lot? I've always wanted to know this about famous people.
Do you know what's very weird is I haven't changed my... I'm going to get some weird calls now for saying this, but I haven't changed my British phone number for 12 years, and I've never changed my American phone number in 9 years.
But don't you have, like, occasional weird calls going, hello, it's you, innit? Here, it's you, innit? It's you. Can I speak to him? Oh, my God, it is you. Or what they do is you go, hello, and answer the phone, and then they just don't say anything, just so you say hello a bit more.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Yeah, I've had some weird calls, yeah. But I'm surprised that they don't keep up. Like, sometimes I've had a couple of calls, and I'm like, oh, no, here we go. And then it just, you know, they don't persist. And normally I don't answer a call unless I know who it is anyway.
Never do a withheld number.
What's that?
A withheld number. Never answer those.
Never answer those.
Never.
Never answer those. Again, you know, any time I do, I go, all right, you know what, I'm sure this time we fit. And it's always, I always regret it.
Yep. It doesn't ever lead to a good place, the withheld number. Radio 1 Podcast. And Gerard Butler's here still and survived after the cake.
He's on a second helping.
He loves it.
I actually am on a second helping. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
Really pleased.
All that time and effort on Sunday afternoon, he loves it. we should talk about your new film, which is quite dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Law Abiding Citizen. It's 18 and 18 for a reason.
It's pretty full on. There's a lot of shocking moments in there. You know, none of them gratuitous, all for a good reason, but it's quite a dark movie.
Okay. Yeah. Can you make a nice one again soon?
Yeah, yeah, I love making nice movies. But I got to say, it was really cool to make this as well because I haven't played a role like that. And this, you think you're into one kind of film, and then suddenly it just goes off at another angle, and it's pretty full on, pretty suspenseful movie. And it was great to play that kind of character because I'm not used to playing something so dark and scary.
What's your next one that's coming out after this?
I am doing I just finished it with Jennifer Aniston, hence all the rumours, because we just did a romantic comedy called The Bounty, which I think is going to be great. It's not going to be as good as your film, but it's going to be it's going to be really great. And then a DreamWorks film called How to Train Your Dragon, which is about Vikings and dragons, a big animated film.
How many films do you make in a year?
Right now, about 27.
Yeah. I was looking at IMDb and I was like, blimey, he's getting through.
I've been a busy boy, yeah.
What are you the voice of?
I'm the voice of Stoik, who's the chief Viking of the village. Yeah. And it's Craig Ferguson is actually. Craig Ferguson plays my best friend, and Jay Baruchel and America Ferrera, and it's a nice cast.
Mm. Now, you know about our rom-com already. I'm sorry, you get offered... How many films do you get offered a year? That's quite interesting.
You keep asking me questions. I'm trying to eat this cake.
I'm sorry to spoil the interview with the cake. But just move away from the cake for 5 seconds.
I'm going to push the cake to the side. Oh, God.
How many did you get offered? He's high on cream now.
Well, you know, it's weird. I think I probably used to get offered more, but then what happens is that I think people stop offering them because they kind of know you're not going to do them. So maybe about 50.
Oh, wow.
Why would they think you wouldn't do them?
Well, you know, if somebody's maybe... Because a lot of people love crap movies.
All right. That's the answer to your question.
They're kind of like, you know, there comes a point where they stop saying, oh, we think we can get Tom Cruise for that. And they go, you know what? No, we're not going to get Tom Cruise.
Well, here's our one.
Maybe we'll get Scott Mills.
Okay, so you play the part of a lab technician. Go with me on the sound effect. You're working in an all-girls school. You're a bit of an outsider, Gerald. Everyone thinks you're a bit weird, but you're just misunderstood. Then you fall for the ghost in the movie. That's Aniston.
With a deep voice.
Yeah.
Because you do deep voice.
There she is. And this is a clever twist. The ghost only comes out when someone cries, okay? Because we've got to get this song by Pixie Lott into it. You'll have to cry me out. You'll have to cry me out. And then you can start pashing the ghost. Get romantic with the ghost. There's also some women in it saying I for no particular reason. And then
we haven't cast them yet.
And then, and then you and Aniston make out a lot. And then we don't really know the end yet, but we're going to have Robbie Williams' new song on the end. So, what do you think?
See, that's
don't
one
have
of
to say yes now. You can go away and think about it.
No, I'm in. I mean, that's one of the 50 that I would say yes to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see?
I'm there.
We don't want to give you like a full written part. We feel we ought to leave room for you to go somewhere with the character.
Yeah,
we
do. Well,
I just don't understand how, if I'm kissing Jennifer Aniston, she can go, you know, because it would be more like, you know.
Now, do you think, and you can be honest, would Aniston do it?
With me, yes. I mean,
what do you mean?
I like
you told me earlier that was a no.
You like your subtle question. We got there in the end.
Yes.
Hey, well done.
Okay. Well,
she would, by the way, because honestly, this sounds like a really... I'm here to talk about law-abiding citizen, but I got to tell you, this sounds incredible.
Doesn't it?
It really is. Yeah. It's gripping. It's got all the elements of a great... romantic, scary,
thank you.
Fascinating story.
Thank you.
Do you always start with sound effects and then move on from there? Is
we
that
go
how these
pretty
things work?
Yeah. If somebody's pitching me a movie, they'll maybe go, boop, boop, boop. Yeah. What do you think? and we go
just goes from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got Jennifer's number on your phone? Yeah.
Yep.
How much do I have to pay you to have it? I won't text her very often.
Okay. £10.
10.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 20.
It's Aniston's phone number, £20. £20, and don't be changing any of the digits.
Okay, Rupert, get me my phone.
I promised I wouldn't bother that often.
Here it is, actually. Here's the number. It's all... No,
listen, it's been great to have you in today. Thank you so much for coming in and being lush. And thanks for saying that the cake was nice.
The cake is nice. Thank you, Becky. That was awesome.
Gerald Butler, everybody. Thank you. See you soon.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Gerald's a very busy man. Otherwise, he would have stayed to play Oh, What's Occurring. Well, you were thinking about it, weren't you? But then you've got to go off and do something else.
I was there. I've just been pulled away.
Yeah. I've got one more question from one of our listeners. I love it when listeners text him with questions with stuff that I just don't know about.
Doesn't happen often.
No.
No.
Do you ever remember interviewing a PA for a job in your pants?
What?
In Los Angeles. You were wearing underwear and you were doing an interview for a PA.
Yeah.
Right, that happened.
Yeah.
Right, tell me more.
Well, it sounds...
sounds worse than it is, Scott.
I was doing a... I'm still eating cake, but I was doing a costume fitting at the time.
Oh, right.
And she... I had a stylist in and I was trying on various different things and she actually helped me get packed to leave town. Because she was interviewing me, she's like, "Do you want a hand?" And literally, I'm standing around in my underpants, and she ended up packing my bags for me, and she got the job actually.
Did she?
Yeah.
Amazing. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
Right, you better go off and do whatever you need to do. So, thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I love Gerald. What a nice man.
Very, very nice man. I would now put him ahead of Mr. T as our favourite guest ever.
Yeah. Loads of people thinking that was great. So thanks for your text.
Becky's just ecstatic.
She is. Mainly because the cake thing worked out
well,
okay.
Well, yeah.
Go. Yeah. I'm a bit drunk on cream now, I think. Not my favourite. No, it was my favourite. Just the feeling I have right now isn't my favourite.
And he said yes to the film as well.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And he said that Aniston would love it.
Yeah.
And he's going to text her tonight and ask her.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And he didn't swear.
Good point. I didn't even think about that. Mm.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Oh, what's occurring?
Okay. A brand new week of Oh, What's Occurring starts now.
Oh, what's occurring?
I was unbeaten last week.
Absolutely.
100% record.
I'm not sure that's going to continue now. Okay, here's your first situation.
Oh, what's occurring?
What is the worst Christmas present you've ever received?
Oh, my... Do you know, I honestly can't think of a very bad one, I have to say.
You get good ones, do you?
Yeah.
They're not bad ones, but me and my sister always used to get the same thing, and if she was faster at opening it, it was never a surprise.
Oh, annoying.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
really annoying.
Because then you just know that you're going to get exactly the same, and then exactly the same.
Mm-hmm, same.
But nothing bad. Okay. Something that doesn't fit me, probably.
What would you not want?
Underwear.
Mm-hmm. Well, here...
What? I mean, for Christmas. I mean, in general. I don't go around commando
you
all
do.
The time. No, occasionally. Once, when we both were commando on the same day by some fluke.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't like this pant talk.
We here, as a public service at the BBC...
We only discovered that by talking to each other, can I just point it out?
Here at the BBC, we thought we'd ask the people of Stupid Street what the worst present they have ever got. So you know not to buy things like this for people this Christmas time. I'll give you a point for any you can get. Worst Christmas present?
Socks.
Ever.
Oh,
Chappa says socks. Remember, this is Stupid Street?
I know.
Anything at all, I'll give you a point.
Cheese grater.
Okay, let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Right. Here's the people of Stupid Street telling us about the worst present they've ever received.
It was actually a salt and pepper shaker. It was actually a tray that carries them that was in the shape of a bicycle.
Who was it from?
It was from a next door neighbour.
And what did you do with it?
Well, I passed it on as another present.
Good to know the roadworks are back on Stupid Street. Excellent.
Like
always roadworks there, always. Right, any of you say a salt and pepper shaker in the shape of a bicycle? You didn't, did you?
No.
Cheese grater's close to that, though.
Not really, does it, though?
Not really. You didn't say in the shape of a bicycle.
It is always good to pass on the gift to someone else, though, isn't it, I think? Because then you become also known as a buyer of bad presents. Hooray. Right, next one. Worst Christmas gift ever from the people of Stupid Street.
I got it last year from my ex-boyfriend Jordan's perfume.
Do you think he was trying to suggest something?
Well, he said... I thought you liked Jordan, and I said, I used to like watching her programme. well, I don't like her. And it had like, it was a box set, so I got glittery body lotion and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm not 12.
Is that why he's your ex-boyfriend?
That did help.
You've got to be careful with celebrity perfumes and who you buy them for. If you buy the wrong celebrity, they'll be like, what are you saying? You don't get Jordan, for instance, for your nan, do you?
No, I won't get it for anybody personally. But...
Does anyone ever buy perfume for themselves, or is it just always a gift? Have you ever bought perfume?
I always buy perfume for myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've only had it as a present once.
Does it last a year when you do get it at Christmas?
Yeah, it does actually. Because the present one is about to run out, so...
Here's one I don't understand who you'd buy it for. The X Factor cologne. Is that for a brother or a...
I don't know. I've no idea. The X Factor
cologne?
Is that a
unisex one?
I think it is.
But for anyone then. We could all just smell of it.
Great.
We did that last year, actually.
Oh.
We did have access to some, and beautiful it was. Real nice. I'm just trying to think of what one... I would buy for you. I probably think I would get you Jamelia's perfume for Christmas. I don't know if you've got one.
Why?
I don't know. I just look at Becky and I think Jamelia. You more, I would say Gary Neville for men.
Can we go on to the next one?
Shall we? Okay, worst Christmas present ever.
The worst present I ever received was a gym membership when I was overweight. And I wouldn't mind, but it was just before Christmas dinner as well. So it was a little bit like, oh, I won't be having any extras then. So... But if you'd have asked me what is the most generous present, I'd have probably said that as well. But it was also the rudest. It was just really insulting, so...
And who was it from?
It was actually from several people, which was quite upsetting, because they'd obviously pulled together in a kind of, like, you're generally obese, we need to sort you out, so, yeah.
That's bad. Gym membership where people have got together and thought about it and decided that that is what you need as a group effort.
I so want one of them. I think that would be amazing.
What, from loads of different people?
At all, yeah.
Yes, it would. If me, Scott, and the one that doesn't speak club together to get you gym membership for Christmas, you wouldn't
would
be offended.
Happy.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, oh, it's a present where we're trying to tell you something.
No, because you told me anyway.
Well, I'll buy you a box of Special K then.
Well, gym membership's more expensive than that.
Buy some of those slimming pants. You know,
so if the three of us put together to buy you a box of Special K, is that all right?
Gym membership would be nicer.
All right.
Next.
Cufflinks.
Cufflinks? They're very useful. What's wrong with them?
They're rather boring.
Now, you can tell you can tell he's a wild and crazy guy by the sound of his voice, can't you?
Cufflinks.
Cufflinks. So he'll be wanting something really exciting, not cufflinks. Next.
The highway code.
Now, that's good. I mean, it is saying you're no good at driving, but I don't think that's a bad present. It's good to be reminded of
Unless you're learning to drive, in which case it's a very good present.
No, but sometimes you forget the signs. I bet if I showed you a highway code now, you wouldn't know what everything was in it.
I don't know.
First would be a book.
A book?
Yeah.
Any type of book or just a plain book?
Just a really fat book, yeah. I don't know what it was about. I didn't even read it. I didn't even look at it. It was just this fat. And
how do you know it was the worst book?
Because it was, I don't know. You know, you judge a book by its cover. I guess I did do that then.
Yeah. And who was it by?
I don't know who it was by. It was a man.
So there we are. Avoid one of those at all costs, please. Do not buy anyone a book. People hate them. Who'd want one of them? So there we are. And a lot of people are going, is this really a Christmas version of Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day? Yes, it is.
Oh, what's the kidding?
All right, no points.
Are they bringing that out for Christmas?
God, I hope so. Stupidest tree, innit? Mm. Right, next one. What a weekend for sport, wasn't it? I was glued.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that interesting a weekend for sport, to be honest.
Oh. I mean, there's a lot on, though, wasn't there?
There wasn't a massive amount, no. There was there was a bit of rugby union, and there was a bit of rugby league.
Cricket?
There was cricket. But there wasn't a massive amount of football.
Well, I was glued.
There were a couple of friendlies and a Republic of Ireland playoff.
Do you know what sport I was watching?
No.
Here's some commentary from it. Try and guess what this is.
And there we go. The giraffe getting his bit of nourishment, you know. Little vegetarian giraffe-y dude. As we said off, this is that major flow of awesomeness technique that you were talking about.
What sport is that?
Giraffe racing.
No, it's not.
Please tell me it is.
No.
Giraffe wrestling?
No.
Giraffe polo?
No. I'll tell you what sport it is. Domino Day. That's right. It's
Domino what?
Domino Day on
Domino
5.
Domino Day.
Do you not watch Domino's on TV?
No.
Right.
This was on Five, was it?
Yes. At the weekend. It's the biggest thing on any human's calendar, I think you'll find.
The biggest day on any human being's calendar. Domino Day 2009.
Yeah. And right. They've got loads of interesting facts.
89 builders that worked on these dominoes for the past 2 months. And a crazy little fact here, they went through 2,048 rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah, dude. This isn't like dominoes old people play in pubs. This is like extreme dominoes, dude. And when you're watching it, dude, you have to call everyone dude all the time, dude.
Played by giraffe?
No.
Where does
a giraffe
come into it?
A domino giraffe?
What?
Anyway. Maybe there was a domino giraffe.
The way they do the
dominoes in shapes of anything.
The way
don't laugh.
A domino in the shape of a giraffe.
No, a giraffe in the shape. No,
a giraffe in the shape of a domino.
A giraffe.
What?
It's dominoes making the shape of a giraffe. Does that make sense? Like they knock them down and it makes a giraffe shape. Yeah?
I can see why Joe Butler changed his mind about doing this.
Have you ever seen it? The way they do the commentary, it sounds more like it's like one of those extreme sports. Like they're jumping on motorbikes across the canyon
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
But they're just knocking things over.
But if one goes, they all go.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the drama right there, dude. How many times...
Lots of people love Domino Day.
How many times during the first hour of Domino Day we couldn't stand anymore? Did they say, man, or... dude.
112.
Let's find out.
You're going to ask Becky? I mean, I know the whole giraffe thing was ridiculous, but she does deserve
to
answer.
Ignore her. Go on.
15.
Oh, what's occurring?
Oh, man, Domino's Day, so extreme, dude. Man.
And there's two gold dominoes right in the middle. Awesome.
Superb.
Man. My heart stopped, dude.
Hey, man.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, man, pom-poms. This is wicked, man. You know your school buses, dude.
That is rad.
Well, I'm trying to add more dominoes to this world record is what I'm trying to do, dude.
It's like gorillas in the mist, man. Yeah.
The knocking of the dominoes, it just sounds so sweet, man. One of my favorite sounds. Next to some AC/DC, dude.
That's a hungry anaconda, dude.
This is gonna be rad.
I can make 6 omelets in 3 minutes, man.
What are you talking about, man?
Nothing. Tell me about the phenomenon of monster trucks.
This is Domino's, remember?
Application, dude.
Like my stick, bro? That's tight. Word.
Dude. Man. 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 I feel like a woman. Hey! Are we you? Man. Or are we
dancing? Wow. Quite a lot we're in there.
I still don't really understand how this works.
Well, it's Domino's, dude.
Right.
Man.
That's it.
That's it, yeah. People love it on the text.
Oh! What's occurring?
Right, who wants the point?
Did you lose count?
I forgot to count.
It was more than 15, so I suggest you give it to Chappers.
Oh, that's very good of you.
She's in a bit of a sulk over the whole giraffe thing.
Right, one more then. You know my flatmate?
Yeah.
He has always wanted to be a spy.
Okay.
He even applied, but sadly it didn't happen. I mean, this is one of his lifelong things. He's always wanted to do it, always
right.
will.
Okay.
How excited do you think he would be if the Secret Service called him up with a mission?
I would imagine very excited.
Now, I think Becky may have an advantage on this one, as she did play the part of the head of MI5. But my question to you, how long would my flatmate stay on the phone to Becky pretending to be the head of the MI5?
Does Becky want to go first?
Go on.
3:16. Just a guess.
Okay.
I'm going to go 1:05, because normally she can't remember.
Okay, let's find out. Remember, he's always wanted to be a spy.
Oh, what's occurring?
How long will my flatmate, the wannabe spy, be on the phone to the head of MI5?
Hello.
Good afternoon. Could I speak to please?
Who's calling, please?
I'm afraid I can't say.
Hello?
Hello, is that Jonathan?
Yes, it is.
Jonathan, are we on a secure line?
Yes.
Are you alone?
I'm just in the office at the moment.
You did know I was going to call, didn't you?
No.
The name's Goodlove? Judy Goodlove?
Hello.
Dame Judy Goodlove from the service?
Right.
You applied for the Secret Service, do you not remember?
Yes.
I have your file here. You've changed jobs, but we've tracked you down.
Right.
Look across the room. Can you see a man with a white shirt?
No.
A blue shirt?
No.
A pink shirt?
No.
A black shirt?
No.
Who can you see?
I can see a man in a blue jumper.
He's one of ours. Tell him the sushi has landed. Tell him, Jonathan.
The sushi has landed. He says it means nothing to him.
He would. Jonathan, you need a code name. Tell me, what would you like it to be?
I don't know. What are the others?
I can't say. Pick one, Jonathan.
Green chair.
I don't like that. Your code name from now on will be Kumquat.
What? Oh, can I not have a better one?
No. Whenever I call you, I will address you as Kumquat. Is that understood?
Yes.
And you should address me as Lube.
Lube?
Because I am a smooth operator.
Okay. Who is this?
Lube.
Okay, Lube.
We have a mission for you, Kumquat.
What's that?
Are you ready?
Yeah. Let me get a pen. Okay.
We need you to assassinate Anthony Costa.
Why?
You know why. Just do it and make it look like he was murdered by Duncan. From Blue. You have 48 hours.
What has Duncan done?
You know.
I think this is terribly mean.
I will call you.
In 48 hours?
Correct.
Okay.
Make sure the job is done well, Kumquat.
I will do, Lube.
Lube signing out.
Kumquat out.
Do you think he knew it was me?
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Becky, how did you guess it was 3 minutes and 16? That is amazing. I was laughing so much, I don't even know who's won.
Could you just answer a question for me, though? Yeah. This is from Stuart, in Middlesbrough. Yeah. Is the head of MI5 the sister of Timmy Trendy?
I can't say.
I like the fact you ring up and ask if it's a secure line when you're from MI5 and should know.
Also, I don't think he's cut out for the spy job myself.
I think this is terribly mean.
Very mean. More worryingly, I think he's now written assassinate Anthony Costa on a post-it note and put it on his desk.
We have a mission for you, Kumquat.
Let me get a pen.
No, don't do that.
It's the first rule of being a spy.
Don't write it down. I hope you've shredded that, flatmate.
Oh, dear.
That was today's What's Occurring. Give me your scores, please. I don't even know ours. 8-1-1-9.
Do you think the writers of Spooks might nick that for the next series?
Blatantly.
Oh!
Podcast. Right, should we do some innuendo bingo?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Becky's got some, which she spotted over the weekend, and I'm not sure these are good.
I thought they were really funny at the time, and now you didn't... When I played it to you a minute ago and you didn't laugh, I thought maybe it was just me.
Right, what's the first one?
The first one is Susanna on BBC Breakfast this morning.
What was the worst thing you had to do? Worst thing you had to have in your mouth?
That's not that good, is it?
Chap has laughed.
I did.
That was a good one.
Yeah. What's this next one? Mark Austin.
Now, this one I'm not so sure about. This was Mark Austin on the ITV News last week, I think last Thursday.
Okay.
Debbie Edward in Tynedrum, thank you very much indeed for that.
And while she's down there...
Yes, indeed.
That was on the news?
Yeah.
While she's down there. What happens on ITV News?
She was in a gold mine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
But when she came back up, he said, well, she's down there, which I thought was funny.
Whoever was with him didn't sound that impressed. Was that?
No, poor Mary.
Right, this one was spotted by one of our listeners on Country Fire.
Oh, right.
It's always a mine of innuendo bingo.
I'm going for a little bit of my breast first.
Okay.
With a knife and fork?
And thank you to Nick off of Lincolnshire, who was busy watching River Cottage the other day. The quality's a bit rubbish at the beginning, but you'll get the idea. Thanks very much for this, Nick. Thanks for spotting it. And good work on watching River Cottage.
What do you think, boys?
Excellent.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Proper lovely.
Meaty enough for you. Look, you need a bit more tongue there. Yeah, have a bit more tongue. Full of all good things.
Come to seconds.
Absolutely. Oh, you've got a really meaty one there, sir.
He's a good Nick.
Oh, you've got a really meaty one there, sir.
And even more from River Cottage, thanks to Nick.
Cinnamon. Definitely optional and definitely to be used with caution. But I do like a little pinch on my pears.
Anything else you spot?
Becky's were good, though. Oh, Becky's were all right.
They were fine, if you like that kind of thing.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Right, now, this might come as a surprise to both of you, right? But I am bi-curious.
Right.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
Okay.
I am, seriously.
Right.
Bi-curious. Because my mate's got one, and I'm...
Got one what?
I'm thinking I might give it a go.
Got a what?
Motorbike.
You want to go on a motorbike?
No, I want one.
You want a motorbike?
My friend's got one. Why? And I looked up people who want motorbikes on Urban Dictionary, and that is the actual term for them, bike curious.
All right, okay.
So, can you imagine me as a biker?
No.
I think you should get one.
I think you should start with a scooter.
Yeah, see, that's what he did. He started with a scooter and now he's upgraded.
I'm thinking, no, full-on, like, massive bike.
Yeah?
Yeah, with sidecar.
Wearing leathers.
Sidecar, because I want to go in your sidecar.
A sidecar? You'd look like Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, that's why I want him to get one. I think it'd be hilarious. Not doing anything for his credibility, but I think it'd be funny. And could we film it for the website? We'll put it on YouTube so that you can see it yourself.
I wasn't the best on that segue, was I?
No. That was the problem, wasn't
quite
it?
Slow.
That's not a bike. A bike, you've got, like...
As we said when you were on that segue,
I don't
shouldn't
know anything
you,
about bikes. I just know they make a big noise.
Shouldn't you start with like a shop mobility and then move up to a scooter?
No, go straight for
and then
it.
Move to a bike.
I had massive big un.
I've already done this. I had a moped when I was 16. No, 16, because I couldn't drive. I wasn't old enough to drive. I needed to get to work. But I did used to park it round the road from the radio station because I was quite embarrassed. Top speed, 35 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You
that
never,
was fine
you
for me.
You never reached that, though, did you?
No, I did. I was flying.
You weren't flying. You can't fly at 35 miles an hour.
But I'm just thinking I need to go the next level up from a moped. I want to bypass the scooter bit and just go straight for the bike. I am bi-curious, I told you.
I just can't. I can't.
I think it's going to be brilliant. BBC Radio 1. You could go out with the hairy bikers and everything.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Is that why you want to do it?
Not entirely the whole reason, but it would be good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mike on the M6 says he was bi-curious, but recently took the plunge and he's never looked back.
Right, well, I need to give it a go, I think. Mm. Just talk about me getting a motorbike. Chappers doesn't think it's such a good idea. Becky thinks it's a brilliant idea, and so do a lot of our listeners. Just one of my mates has got one, and I am bi-curious, I am.
But you definitely need one with a sidecar so
no,
I can come with you.
Because in films, they always go wrong.
Another bi-curious person says, do you fancy doing your licence together?
Who is that?
I don't know if I can just... Joe in Kent.
I've always wanted to do a motorbike licence. Don't you have to wear a headset and go, yes, and then follow the instructions like that?
Do you?
From the lead biker up front.
Do you?
Yeah, you sometimes see them in town.
Oh, I like
just
that
imagine
a lot.
What they're saying to each other on their little radios.
I like that a lot.
I quite like having someone telling me what to do in my ear when I'm driving, because otherwise it's a bit difficult.
You're not having a midlife crisis, are you?
I don't think so,
okay.
No.
Please get one with a sidecar, though, because I always want to go really fast, sitting really low to the ground.
Because in films, they always go wrong. At some point, the sidecar becomes detached, and there you are with your goggles on and ploughing into a field at high speed.
Yeah, an amazing ride. I don't say you wouldn't laugh at that.
If you were in the sidecar, yes.
I don't want you to start chasing after busty blondes 15 years your junior whilst, you know, riding a bike to try and impress them.
I've reached that stage.
It's men of a certain age, isn't it, who suddenly need a bike.
Is it?
Like my dad's friends.
Is it?
Yeah.
How old are they?
Sort of about late 40s, 50.
Right, but like I said, we're not quite there yet, are we?
But the fact you're even contemplating it says
shows you're not far off.
No, my friend who is 26, 27.
He's really cool.
What are you saying?
Well, like cool people have them when they're younger.
Right, take that back.
You can't do those kind of girlfriend hand gestures if you're going to start riding a bike.
I did just do a girlfriend there, didn't I?
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.